Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. These are God's words. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. So far, the reading of God's word, he talks about, or he begins by saying, you brethren have been called to liberty. And that reminds us of what he said in verses 7 and 8. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. So Christ is the one who has called us. And to what has he called us? Verse 8 tells us he has called us. And what they have been taught by these others who have come up and troubled the church didn't come from Christ who called them. It came from man. But we don't want to be put back into bondage. Christ, who calls us to freedom. And everything that Christ tells us to do is freeing. Of course, the very first thing he tells us to do is what? Turn from our sin and rest in him. Be freed from all of our guilt. Be freed from the wrath that our sin deserves. And then we keep listening to him, and he tells us to use his means. He tells us to trust in him as we read his word, trust in him as we come to God in prayer through him, to trust in him who is the one who is working in us. And that connects to the last half of verse 13. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Okay, so stowaway. There's a sneaky stowaway when we add things from our own minds and our own ideas to the religion of Jesus. Because where's that coming from? It's not coming from him who calls us. It's coming from us. Well, what else? What other kind of stuff comes from us? Self-interest, looking down upon others, preferring ourselves. And so it's actually no surprise that the false teachers who had been adding things to the teaching of Christ to the Galatian church, they also were doing things like slandering Paul and people who didn't want to follow along with the man-made additions and pulling back in from the old covenant. And what was happening? You were starting to have conflict in the church, because there were those who were trying to get some to do the things that had been added, and there were those who didn't want to do those things. So the flesh that had added the one also produced the hatred underneath, because both of those things are things that come from man. The man-made additions isn't what Jesus uses. What does Jesus use? Remember back to verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith, okay, a believing response to, resting upon, an employment of, whatever the Lord Jesus says, but faith working, or perhaps better, being made effective or operable by or energized by love. And so when he says, but through love, serve one another, he's setting those two things over against one another, right? Adding ideas or activities, in this case it was circumcision, verse 6. Or the opposite, right? Trusting in our not doing circumcision. He says, no, neither of those things. You trust in Christ. You do what Christ says because it's Christ who says it, not because your rightness about what Christ says will produce it. How does faith produce Christ-likeness and obedience? It is made operable by or effective by love. And so he sets those same two things over against each other, like he had done up in 1 through 6, and specifically in verse 6, he sets them over against each other here. He says, "Brethren, you have been called to freedom. Christ has freed you. Only do not use freedom as an opportunity through the for the flesh, but through love serve one another." This is one of the great treasures of the book of Galatians for us, is that as we follow the teaching of the book of Galatians, it frees us not just from others' additions to what Christ says to do, but as we think about it, we also challenge our own assumptions, don't we? And we want to know where Christ says to do this and how Christ says he uses this, so that what we do will be done by faith as a response to his word, trusting in him to do the work that accompanies whatever it is that is done. So we get freed from others' commands and innovations, and we get freed from our own ideas and innovations. We're freed to have, and this is the phrase that as these things were being recaptured, some of you who know a little bit about Reformation history, you know this is exact opposite of Roman Catholicism, right? They give you a whole big list of things that the church has decided are useful. And one of the things that happened in the Reformation as they returned to the Bible, one of the theme phrases was Christ alone is Lord of the conscience. And just the liberty of that, to have only Jesus be the Lord of our conscience. What freedom. But that gives us a question, or that proposes a question, to which our passage this afternoon gives an answer. For what have we been freed? Christ alone is the Lord of the conscience. Does that mean just to do whatever I want? No, because Christ is Lord of the conscience, but also we have been freed in order to love and serve. You know, Paul himself is an example of this. He's freed from the inventions of the Judaizers, but what is he doing? He is loving and serving even those who have been attacking him by writing a letter to point them back to Jesus. And even look at the way he addresses them in verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to freedom. You see, so you see the apostle actually producing the fruit of his approach that rests in Christ and follows Christ alone. The fruit of their approach has been to attack Paul and devour Paul. And he calls that to their attention at the end of our passage. He says, this attacking and devouring, it ends up going two ways. Once you guys are done chewing me up and digesting me, the only ones left to attack and chew up will be each other. I'm sure all of us have felt this in our own hearts or experienced this in someone else, this fractious, devouring tendency that so long as you're agreed in whom you're attacking, you know, it feels pretty good together. But once we're done with them, you know, that you the fleshly, oppositional, hostile spirit that belongs to that isn't satisfied, doesn't stop devouring. And he says, beware, if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you consume one another. So that's the fruit of their approach. But the fruit of the approach that the apostle, by the Spirit, is teaching them, and by the Spirit has had formed in himself, is to love even those who are attacking him. To call them brethren. He has used some pretty hard words. Words that if they don't turn from their kind of man-embellished version of Christianity, he's actually worried that they might not be saved. But he doesn't press the issue in the way he communicates to them. He loves them. He calls them brethren. He's after their good, that they would be full of Christ instead of self, and therefore produce love instead of devouring. So, does this liberty result in a rejection of God's law? No, it doesn't. Because he reminds them, yes, we have the 10 words, the 10 commandments, which Scripture literally calls the 10 words. And there are lots of other commandments in the Old Testament, but God can summarize his whole law in just two,
right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. What do those two commands have in common, children? Both start with love. And that is what Jesus produces in us when he makes us to be like himself. So does he produce in us getting rid of the law? Or does he enable us actually to start keeping his law rightly, truly, for the first time ever? And that's what he's saying. He's saying, you guys, you know, the Judaizers are producing all these ceremonial commandments that they want to add that say have spiritual power, but they themselves are powerless. They're operating by the flesh. When you trust in Christ and you don't add, but you trust in him and follow what he says, he produces his power in you. And as he makes you like himself, as he produces love in you, you actually start keeping the commandments for the first time. So his Paul's opponents had said, Paul's against the commandments. And Paul is saying, no, actually, I'd really like just to keep them well for the first time ever. Because the only way we can do that is by what Jesus does in us. So let's trust in him and do what he says and not add our own stuff, because we don't have power in us. Power is only in Christ. And that's what produces love. And that's what produces obedience. Love embraces the law in order to do good to its object. Through love, serve one another is what he says. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself.